I've got a ton of scripture today. I have more scripture than normal, and really, I think, less to say about those scriptures, but to kind of let the scriptures challenge you and speak to you. There is a lot about helping the needy and dealing with the poor in the scriptures. The scriptures are really not silent at all on this subject. So if you'd like to, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 19, just to start with a verse today. And then we're going to move around quite a bit. If you want, you can turn your Bibles to James chapter 1 as well. And kind of put your finger in James, and we'll kind of jump there in just a second as well. Again, I want to encourage you guys, if you have Wednesday nights available, we are working our way through this book on Wednesday evenings. We've had some really tough things that we've already talked about, right? We talked about trafficking, which is a very, very difficult subject. Wendy even mentioned something about we have a Free Will Baptist missionary that's doing some work with that. And if you would like to be help out with that, we might be able to send like some birthday cards and letters and things like that. So let her know about that. We talked about racism last week, and you guys even know this very morning today, there's all kinds of stuff from this week that's kind of highlighting race again, okay? But it doesn't get any easier. Today we're going to talk about poverty and look at some people's great, great need for just the basics of life. Anyway, you're welcome to take a book with you if you want, or come on Wednesday nights. And there's what's really good about this book, again, is there's different perspectives. There's scriptures in every chapter. There's statistics that kind of open your eyes. And then there's kind of places and ways to take action. If you feel like you want to take action in one of those areas, then please do. Again, I've really been challenged so far, for me so far, just to share a little bit, is I've got to find some people that are different than me and invite them into my life. And hopefully I want to find some pastors who are a little different than I am and invite them into my life. So that's something I've already grown with. Maybe something else will touch your heart, but just pray that you'll hear what the Lord has to say. All right, let's look in Proverbs in chapter 19 of Proverbs. We're going to look just at verse 7 to get started. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, he writes this. He says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done." Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Then flip over, you would, to James in chapter 1. You guys are really familiar with this passage. It's James talks about looking into the mirror, and if you look in the mirror and you don't make any changes, then you're foolish, right? And be slow to speak, but quick to listen, slow to become angry. All of those right in chapter 1 of James. And then at the very end of James chapter 1, look what James says about what real religion, what true faith is. In James chapter 1, verse 26, he says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Now look what the positive truth is in verse 27. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Do you see how James really simplifies that? Basically, what the whole book of James is going to say is if your faith doesn't have action, it's not real faith. And his action that he starts off with is taking care of the needy. Brother Todd did a real good job, and Rick too, on Sunday school. The last few weeks we were studying the book of Ruth. And I think it was just a couple weeks ago, we looked at that when, you know, you quickly know the story of Ruth, right? Ruth is a Moabitess, kind of like a Samaritan. Like she was, her society was looked down upon, and yet she married Mahlon Chilion, part of that family. And the boys, her husband dies, her sister-in-law, Orpah, her husband dies, Naomi's husband dies, and they were all in Moab to get away from the famine. And then Naomi says, "I'm going to go back home." Orpah says, initially she says, "I'll go with you." And then Naomi says, "You don't have to go with me." And so Orpah stays. But Ruth says what? "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Where you go, I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." Remember that? Okay. Now what's powerful to me is you get into chapter 3, the Jewish law was that someone could have Ruth, but if they took her, then they would have to take and give the inheritance and pass it on down Naomi's line. Basically, it was going to cost you financially if you went to redeem Ruth and Naomi in that land. And guess who did it? Right? Boaz. He steps forward and he makes the sacrifice to take care of the widow, even though it's going to cost him. Okay? Now, just real simply, is there any blessing in Boaz's life? Ruth and Boaz have a son. I believe his name is Obed. And Obed has a son, and his name is Jesse. And Jesse has a son, and his name is King David. And David's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson is who? It's Jesus. Don't you love how the Lord works in redemptive history, right? Here is this Moabitess, this, you know, oh, she's not worth anything. She's a widow, and she ends up being in the lineage of Christ. Same thing with Rahab, right? Here's a prostitute, and she ends up being in the lineage of Christ. God loves to take people who are down and out and put them in some amazing spots to be used for his glory. Today, I want you to think about that as you see people who maybe are not don't have it as easy as you when it comes to this idea of poverty. It doesn't make them any less valuable. As a matter of fact, God may use some of them to do incredible things. So we need to open our eyes to how we can be a part of serving them. Okay, we've already done just a little bit of review. I told you that we talked about this idea of it's in his image. And the whole point, now I'm going to hit it the very last thing again today, is I want you to see people and see God's image in the people that you're with. If you can do that, you're going to overcome so many of these barriers. If you can see Jesus in the person that's in the jail, see Jesus in someone that's a different color than you, see Jesus in a homeless man or woman, that's going to help you overcome these barriers. Today, we're going to give you a few stats just to think about when it comes to this idea of poverty. And again, I'm not trying to just like guilt you or wear you out too much, but I want you to see a few of them because they do trouble us and we want to make sure we're trying to have an impact. The first one I was challenged by when I read it was that there are 30,000 children under the age of 5 that die every day. Every day. That is alarming, isn't it? Mostly from preventable disease. If they had the care, the medical care that we have, then most of these, I think later on there's a stats like 2/3, something like that, they would be in no jeopardy at all. Right? So at least 20 of those 30,000 children, they don't need to die. They need medical care. We live in a different place than some people sometimes, and I think it's easy for us to forget that a little bit. On today, I want the Lord to challenge your heart again. Not me, I'm not trying to guilt you, but think about this, or what can be my part in helping make some of these things better, help bring your kingdom to come and your will to be done. This next one is kind of interesting as well. More than 1 billion people will never see a doctor in their lifetime. If most all of you have been to a doctor, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't need to know your health background. But all of us here, it's kind of an understood, right? You have a physician, you have someone you go to see, you may even have a family physician that your parents use or your grandparents use, whatever, right? There's 1 billion people on the planet who will never see a doctor in their life. Again, Charlotte, she didn't even know this, but she did this morning, but when she said we were blessed to be born in America, and in prep for my sermon, I was like, amen. Wow. And again, we had no choice in that, right? We had no choice in the matter. What a blessing it is to be born in a country where we have access to so many things that other people don't have access to. And so thank the Lord for that today, but then also be in prayer what we can do. Now, here's an interesting stat, and this is kind of on the positive, and I want to challenge you with this because you probably didn't know this. I probably should have quizzed you first to see how many people thought this way. Did you know that global poverty has decreased by more than half in the past 30 years? So here's what's happening is things are getting better as a whole. Now, we're not going to go into great detail. We will go in detail some Wednesday night. You're going to see some of the countries where things are getting worse and worse because they are definitely there, okay? Extreme poverty in certain places is on the rise, but great big picture, actually poverty as a whole is getting better. Now, I'm going to hit you up a little bit later with this idea. Jesus says the poor you'll always have with you, right? We're going to look and talk about that in a moment. But the point here is I want you to not be too down to see that if you will pray and you will be part of what God is doing, God is having an impact on poverty on a global scale. So I thought that was kind of encouraging. Yesterday, I was able to speak with the ICF group, and I was really encouraged and challenged at the same time. We were just having a conversation around our dinner table, and they were talking about how that sometimes where they had seen ISIS step into places, that in those places there was a lot of poverty, there was a lot of idleness. I thought that was interesting. Kofi Annan has this quote, and it kind of challenged me when I thought about it as well. Extreme poverty anywhere is a threat to human security everywhere. I'm sure Michael could probably tell us a lot more about that. The idea where you have this desperation in these countries like Sudan and different parts of Africa, that also seems to be where, for lack of a better term, the crazies, all right, can jump in and recruit because there's nothing else to be had. Are you with me? So on the one hand, it's kind of interesting. This is a sad thought that where there's great poverty, that's a threat to security. But at the same time, if we can improve the conditions in some of those places, we may also be improving the security in other places as well. So it has multiple benefits for us to be trying to help people who are in extreme poverty. And that's kind of a really interesting thing, that there's this side effect to helping people make their way out of poverty. Now, this thing hit me yesterday. Prabhakar, who's a great person, him and his wife, Liz, they came to one of our Christmas services, and they're just so encouraging. Prabhakar said this yesterday at the end. We were talking about contentment, and it's still just kind of wearing me out a little bit. I'm trying to figure out exactly how to do it. He said, "We are so rich in America that even our cars have houses." I never really thought of it. It's a garage. It's a garage. You know, that's what we have, especially in the north, right? Because the winters are so bad, you know. Now down south, you have these carports or whatever, right? But the way he said that, he goes, and in my neighborhood, people are coming in now, and they're asking, "Well, don't you have 3 car garages?" Now, and again, everybody here probably has a garage, okay? So I'm not trying to chew you out for having a garage. But what that hit me was like, wait a minute. So my car, and of course my garage is so full of stuff, I can never put my car in its house. But my garage, I have a garage, a house for a car, and there are people that don't even have a house. And so how do you work that out? And again, I'm not going to work it out for you right now. I want to challenge you a little bit this morning to think about people that maybe don't have it as good as we do, right? Yeah, our cars have houses. Wow. All right. Again, you can pray about that and see if the Lord will challenge you on that. But I thought that was kind of, it really stuck out to me yesterday. Today, what I want to do very simply is I'm going to walk you through some different scriptures and really some kind of themes about poverty and about generosity. And then what I want you to do is just, if you'd pray even right now, "Lord, as we read these scriptures, would you open my heart, let your spirit lead me, let me hear your voice, and how do I need to share of myself to people who are in need?" Okay? So let's look again. We're going to go back to Proverbs. This time to Proverbs chapter 31, which we usually think of Proverbs 31 as being about the Proverbs 31 kind of wife. But look at this, what it says about the idea of poverty there. Proverbs 31:8 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of" who? "The poor and the needy," right? This is a command from the Lord. If you want things to work well in your life, you need to be standing up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. All right, so the first thing I wanted you to see this morning, kind of our first theme, is that we should love and give even when things may not change. I want you to love and give, not necessarily for an outcome, but to love and give because the Lord said to love and give, all right? Let's look, if you would, Deuteronomy in chapter 15, verse 10. Deuteronomy 15:10. Here's what the Word of God says. "Give generously to them," that would be the poor in this sense, "and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Verse 11, this is interesting. "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." Do you catch that? It's almost like you might would say whenever Moses is writing this down, and he says, there will always be poor and needy in the land. What does that sometimes do for us if we hear that? A lot of times the preachers talk about giving to the poor, or people see the little starving children on the infomercials on TV. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Or you go to a concert and they have a Compassion International try to have you sponsor a child. Well, somebody hears this word of, well, Jesus said the poor you'll always have with you. In other words, it's like, it's a problem we're not going to beat. I'm not even going to try. What did the Lord say here? There will always be poor in the land. So did he say, well, don't worry about it. There's just always going to be poor. No, he says, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are needy in your land. There are always going to be poor, so there's always going to be opportunity for you to be generous. Not an opportunity for you to say, well, that's just how life is. Anybody else as guilty as the pastor, and you've heard that sometimes, and kind of, well, there's just always going to be poor. So it's an insurmountable problem. I'm not going to worry too much about it. Yeah, that's a little convicting to me, right? Okay, Lord, what's my part in this? What's my role in this? How can I be open-handed towards people in my life? So I was challenged like that. Now, we have this thought in our prison ministry very often, and it can be a burden if you begin to think of your ministry always as outcome-based. And this is in teaching, by the way, as well, in education, all right? If you're always thinking about, am I getting the outcomes that I want, you can be very frustrated in prison ministry. You know what I'm talking about? If you're always like, well, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm going to change the heart of this guy and it's going to save him, and then he's going to get out and he's going to not have any drug problems, he's not going to have any crime problems, he's going to turn it all around and he's not going to go back to his old ways, and that's just going to happen all the time. And so that's why I'm doing this. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the time, definitely not all the time, but most of the time, the guys that we minister to, that we love on, that we pray for, that we see them moved and challenged in their hearts while we're there in the jail, most of the time when they go back out, do you know what they do? They get back with their same friends, they get back in their same patterns, and then they get back and end up in the same place. And then we might even see them again. Now, every now and then, you know what happens? Somebody changes, like night and day changes. And you're like, ah, I'd really like to see that, right? But what Bob Irvin taught me a long time ago, kind of the leader of our Alpha Ministry there at the jail, is that he isn't serving for the outcomes. He's loving because God told him to love. Okay? Can I challenge you a little bit of that? Now, we want outcomes, right? We want good things to happen, but he's not doing that to make it happen. Today, you don't have to save anybody, but you need to love and be generous with other people. As you think about the poor and needy, what you're going to see, and we'll spend a lot more time on this on Wednesday night, is there some people who are saying, you don't need to be giving money to the poor. You don't need to be giving charitable things to the poor. What you need to be doing is empowering the poor to help themselves out of that situation. Kind of like the idea of teaching someone to fish rather than giving them a fish, right? And there's definitely some truth in that. But the point is, I don't want you to get so wrapped up and then I've got to have good outcomes in order to be generous. The point is, the Lord wants you to be generous. As you go through all these passages, it's not outcome-based. It's a command to us to honor the God who has forgiven us and then to show the generosity that he was so generous to us, that we would show generosity to others. You need to leave the fruit and the results up to the Lord. Can I hear you, help you hear that today? If you don't hear anything else today, I hope you'll grab hold of that. Let the results be left up to the Lord. Again, serving the poor, it can have a similar effect. While we have seen some incredible decline in extreme poverty in the last 30 years, and we hope that continues, sometimes we're just called to be generous regardless of the outcome. Again, this is some penology here today. It's not about, I don't believe it's about the outcome, it's about the attitude and the action that flows from the heart of a believer. Are you being obedient? Are you being generous because of what God has done for you? All right, so the next theme let's look at this morning is to be generous to the poor. And I want to challenge you to be generous with your time and abilities, not just your money. We got any multimillionaires sitting out there today? Some of you laugh, so I'm guessing it's not you. Some of you didn't laugh, so I'm starting to wonder. Maybe there's some extra money around here. I don't know, right? There's more to serving the poor than writing a check. Are you hearing me today, okay? What we want to do is give of our time, give of ourselves, give of our talents, not just our money. The Lord's blessing rests on the generous. Vicki even said this in Sunday school today, that we don't give to be blessed. But the truth of the matter is that as we do give and it flows out of our faith, you know what the Lord does? He blesses us. Just a few verses here to see that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. Here Solomon writes, he said, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. When's the last time you shared some of your food with somebody who didn't have enough? Right? Were you guys here for Vacation Bible School this summer? It was awesome, right? We had 200 items up here that we shared with people who don't quite have enough. Those little kids, they went to town. 30 little kids brought like 200 items, and we had almost $500. There were 400 and some dollars that we gave to Servant's Heart, right? When's the last time you shared of yourself? Here's an unbelievable, unconditional, and encouraging thing. As you share from your faith, and because of the Lord's generosity too, the Lord says, you know what? The generous are going to be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10. The scripture says, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Again, the same promise is in there, right? If you give, if you're generous because of what the Lord has done for you, then the Lord is going to lift you up and he's going to exalt you and encourage you. Let that be known. Follow after his heart by being generous. One more. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I wish, again, I always think of Uncle Tim. When he's Uncle Tim, when I think of this verse. He was a poor old farmer that about lost it all, or lost a lot of it back, you know, farm aid and all that time and stuff, right? But Tim never, he was always generous. And then what happened a little later on in his life, it's like he was even more generous. You know what happened to him as he was more generous? He just had more and more stuff to give away. Like, and it wasn't ever, it wasn't a deal with him. It was just, he was content in what God had given him, and he was going to share generously and enjoy what the Lord had given, and he was used to bless so many people. Again, he didn't do it to get blessing. That's not what he was about. But he was very open-handed with what the Lord had given him, and the Lord honored him with that. Did you catch that in this verse here a little bit, though? The one who withholds unduly, what was kind of their destiny? If you keep holding on and you keep holding on, like, oh, I don't think I can give that. Well, I know you're in need, but I got needs too, right? Even last week, the whole idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, that comes to pass here together. Encouraging truth again, that we need to be generous because God has been generous to us, but don't worry, the Lord will provide our needs. The next thing I want you to look at, this next theme, is that God identifies with the poor. Another reason why to reach out to people who are poor is because God identifies with them. That was the verse I started with, Proverbs 19:7. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to who? They lend to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Do you see how the Lord identifies with the poor? It's not that you're just helping the poor person. You're actually helping the Lord in the poor person. And again, the passage we've studied for a couple Wednesday nights, Matthew 25, what did Jesus say? He said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The Lord identifies with the poor. Why would we not want to serve the Lord? We do, right? Again, this is a response to what God has done in our heart, in our life. Anybody here today glad to be forgiven? Man, right? Lord has been so good to me. We could sit here all week and I could not go through it all, how good the Lord has been to me. Well, if I see the Lord, I'm going to try to help him. And maybe I see the Lord in that guy that's sitting around the table with me in a orange jumpsuit. Or you may see the Lord in that lady who's kind of walking with that shopping cart through Servant's Heart. Or you may see the Lord at the Wheeler Mission for that guy who needs a bed tonight because it's really cold outside, right? Where's the Lord at in your life? And don't miss him. Look to see the Lord in the eyes of the poor and then serve the Lord. and serve the poor with gladness. All right, another theme. We're actually moving things really quick today. Again, I just want you to see these verses and grab hold of this idea. The next thing I want to talk about as it relates to the poor is that taking care of the poor has part of it is equivalent to laying up treasures in heaven. How many of you would like to make an investment that will never, ever go down in value? Right? Hey? If I had a deal today, I said, if you will invest in this, I'm gonna encourage you to invest in this because I'm going to tell you you're going to get way more than 10% back, and this stock market will never crash, it will never go down, and you have no fear of it ever being lost, and the pay is so enormous when you finally hit the payday, you will be unbelievably grateful that you made this investment. I mean, I could go on Wall Street, I'd have a lot of attention really, wouldn't I? People are like, what's he talking about? Let's see what the Lord talks about. This is the kind of investment we want to look at today. First, in Matthew in chapter 19, you guys remember the story of the rich young man, right? Rich young ruler. This guy is prominent. He's up and coming. He has great influence. He has the degree. He has the history. He comes to Jesus, and he says, good teacher. And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? There's nobody good but God. And Jesus was trying to get him to see who he was talking to, okay? And Jesus, he says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What a great question, right? Well, I wish the whole world would ask that. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He was looking for it. He believed in it. He knew it was a real thing. Jesus starts going through the commandments, right? How are you doing? Are you honoring your mother and father? How's it going with you and the law of Moses? And the man says, I think I'm good. I've been keeping this thing my whole life. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I've been true to my wife. Looking good, Lord. Anything else? Verse 20, Jesus, we see here the man says, all these I have kept. What do I still need? In his mind, he's thinking, I've already checked off all the boxes. He's going to tell me, you are a great, fine young person, because I'm sure that's what this guy's already heard from so many people, right? You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. You are going to be in the kingdom of heaven, son. You're going to inherit eternal life. That's what he thought he was going to hear. What did Jesus say to him in verse 21? Jesus answered, well, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure in heaven. Do you see how those things correspond? Give it away so you can have it when it counts. Then come and follow me. What did the young man do? And he said, oh, this is it. This is the answer I've been looking for. I'm going to go sell my house and sell my stuff, give it away. I'm going to follow Jesus, and then I know I'm going to have life. I can't wait. Now, verse 22, when the young man heard this, what did he do? He didn't follow him. He went the other direction. He went away sad because he had a lot to lose. See, people really like to twist this passage a little bit, and I do this sometimes in my own mind. Well, that's because that was that guy's problem. I don't really have a generosity problem, so Jesus wouldn't ask me to give away all my stuff. You think? Isn't it interesting, again, how he ties giving to the poor as laying up treasures in heaven? There was a lot of nodding a while ago when I was asking about, you know, do you want to have an inheritance that comes that can't spoil or perish or fade? You can have a stock that doesn't go down. Everybody's like, yeah, I like that idea. And then like the rich young ruler, when it's like, well, give everything you have away and give it to the poor, and then you can have that. I don't know about that, preacher. Right? And again, the challenge here this morning, this is the challenge for the whole series, is for us to hear the Spirit of God and follow his voice. I don't know that the Lord wants everybody in here to sell all they have and then to start living downtown in a homeless shelter, right? Probably not. But the point of the matter is, are you walking, keeping in step with the Spirit enough to know what the Lord's asking you to do? Maybe tomorrow he really actually wants you to skip the lunch with your coworkers or your friends because he wants you to take that money and do something else with it. Maybe tomorrow he wants you to do something else with your time. Instead of at night sitting home watching the game, he actually wants you to go down to the mission or go to the nursing home or go to the servant's heart. I don't know. And maybe he wants you to watch the game because you've been working like a dog and serving people all the rest of the time. But my point is, keep in step with God's Spirit so that as he calls and prompts, you can do what he asks you to do. And that's not my word. That's what the Lord would encourage us today. Now, just to make sure you know we're on the same track here, and this isn't a one-time thing, in Luke, in chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says something very similar about this idea of treasure in heaven. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Don't you love that term, little flock? I love that. That's Jesus being endearing to those disciples. Don't be afraid, little flock. That's the God of the universe saying, don't be afraid, little one. I'll take care of you. Because you know what? When you hear that, give everything to the poor, what we're all saying is, how are we going to make it? How's it going to I don't see it, Lord. I can't see what you're saying, how it's going to work out for me. God says, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you what? The kingdom. Wow. I'm worried about my little bit of salary, my little bit of wage, and God says, I'm going to give you the kingdom. And that's where faith really gets tested, doesn't it? Well, look what he says. He says again to his disciples, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's not talking to the rich young ruler here, but he's saying the same thing, isn't he? I challenged the ICF folks yesterday. I challenged them to discover what it means to lay up treasures in heaven. And it looks like you don't have to really go very far to find the answer, does it? The widow, the orphan, the alien, the pilgrim, the stranger, the needy, those who are poor. Our God loves the underdog, and he wants us to be a part of their life. He wants to help serve and love and redeem them and encourage them. And that's a big part of laying up treasure in heaven. Okay, just in case you're still wondering, well, maybe that's two times, but, you know, it's just maybe two exceptions. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul is talking to Timothy as he's going to go and lead these churches in Macedonia, and here's what he tells Timothy to tell those who are in the church. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is what? It's so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What an awesome promise. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Look in verse 19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Anybody want to really live? Right? I love that Braveheart quote. Again, you probably think I'm silly if I like Braveheart movie, whatever. But the idea is that some people have never really lived. Right? You're going to die. Well, some people have never really lived. You want to take hold of life that is really life? Lay up treasures in heaven. And how do you do that again? This is the third time. And this is not Jesus speaking this time. This is time Jesus speaking through Paul to Timothy. Be generous and willing to share, and that way you will lay up treasure for yourself for the coming age. Now, the truth here today for all of us is, do we believe it? You take the Lord at his word? Challenging, isn't it, right? Or are you going to be my provider if I start giving away more than I think I can give away? And again, today, I don't want you to step out on your own, okay? I'm not saying to you from this message, well, the preacher talked about it, so I'm going to go and just start giving away whatever. You need to consult the Lord and know that the Lord is the one leading you to do what you're doing, okay? That's a huge piece to all of this. But I have a feeling that for a lot of us, the Lord might be challenging us a little more often than we think if we were really listening to what he has us to do. All right, maybe that's more speaking to me than to you, but you take it as the Lord leads today, okay? What part are you doing in being generous and serving the poor to lay up treasures in heaven? All right, so here's what I begin to think about this, and this is, again, probably more preaching to me than to you. A lot of times in my life, and I even heard this yesterday at ICF, the idea is because of the circles that I run in, I don't see a lot of needs always. You know what I'm saying? If you come into my neighborhood, and it's kind of funny because people in Noblesville think that my neighborhood is like the rough part of town. It's like so much better than where we used to live. It's like the nicest part of town where we used to live, right? Okay. But people come in there and they're like, this is the rough place, the rough way to be. And so when I look around my neighborhood, I don't see a lot of need. I see people that have houses for their cars, and they have nice fences, they have two-story homes, they have watered lawns that are just immaculate, they have fancy lawnmowers, they have they go out to eat, they spend $5 on coffee. I mean, these people are incredible, right? They have it pretty good. And so I think, well, you know, I might as well keep my stuff because the people I'm around don't really have much need, right? Amen? Don't say amen. That was a trick. Yeah. And what I'm trying to challenge you with today is, you guys, there is need, and it's all right around us if we'll open our eyes to it. That's part of the reason why I go into the jail, because I'm going into the Hamilton County Jail, so it's right where I live, and right where I live, there are heroin problems, there's alcoholism problems, there's so much abuse and neglect. But because of the circles that I run in and the people are pretty good at shielding and hiding what's going on, I can think that, well, in my part of the world, there's not really that many issues, so I don't have to worry about it. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you some things in your part of the world that I want you to think about and pray about just a little bit. And some you may know about, and some you may not. I didn't know about a lot of these things. There are opportunities right here in Indianapolis for you to make a difference in those who are in great need. And the first one I want to share again, just because we talked about it a couple times today, was Servant's Heart. If you didn't get a chance to go, you guys can go on a Thursday or a Saturday, and you can walk with some people who have it probably quite a bit rougher than you do in certain areas of their life, okay? They need some help. And for us to be a part of that just for one night was really good. But I wasn't trying to make a commitment for us to do that all the time. I wanted to expose us to it so if somebody found it of interest that they could follow up on that. And I was really encouraged when Megan kind of followed up on that. And she's been kind of keeping us in that loop a little bit. And maybe that's where the Lord's going to tie her in to helping the poor. I don't know. But that was really cool. Did you guys know that right here in Indianapolis, there is Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Central Indiana? You can go and mentor a child. They'll actually give you training, and you can go work, and then most of them are actually boys. 66% are boys. It would take a one-year commitment, a few hours a month. But if you want to make a difference in a life of someone who doesn't have it maybe as good as you had it, there's an opportunity. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. There's one called Child Advocate, CASA, of Marion County. Again, I'm not talking about Africa. I'm not talking about New York City. I'm talking about Indianapolis. Right here in Marion County, this serves abused and neglected children who have been placed in protective custody by the courts. These volunteers, they talk with the kids, they contact caseworkers, they interview parents, they compile their observations to the judge, they go through hours of training and invest 6 to 8 hours per month in a child that they represent. How would you like to make a difference in the life of a child? Again, I'm not saying anybody here has to do these things, but what I'm trying to help you see is there's a lot of opportunity right where we live. Have any of you ever heard of the Concord Center? Okay, Charlotte has? Okay, good. Charlotte's kind of maybe more connected than I realized. I'm going to kind of pick on her a little bit more. There's a Concord Center. This was kind of the neat thing. It said you don't have to be a Southsider to help out at the Concord Center. Well, when automatically it said Southsider, guess what? I thought, wait a minute, this has got to be close. It's on Meridian Street, and it's Indianapolis' oldest and longest-running neighborhood center, and it offers early childhood programs, school-age youth and development, before and after school camps, and twice-weekly teen nights. And they need volunteers for teen programs, guest speakers, and some people to talk about college options and academic tutoring. Here's an opportunity to minister to young people in your community. Somebody's already set up the facility. They've already set up the program. They just need people to help give their time to make a difference. I'll give you a couple more. This next one's actually pretty easy, and I think we've seen this even some up in Noblesville where we live, and it's called the Read Up Program. If you love kids and you love to read, you can pull up a chair in an elementary school near you, and students who struggle with reading that are at high risk without intervention may drop out, but volunteers can spend an hour each week reading with third and fourth graders. Just about everybody here can do that. I've heard most of you read. And you won't have to probably say Ephraimites, right? What an opportunity, a very simple thing. It invests. Again, it may not fit your schedule, but just things to think about. One more is called Trusted Mentors. Again, this is Indianapolis. It provides volunteer support for adults at risk of becoming homeless and who may or may not return to prison, as well as young adults who are aging out of the foster care system. We're going to talk about fostering here in a couple weeks. But how hard would it be to have been bounced around and finally you get to a place where you're too old to be a foster kid anymore? You want to talk about the widow and the orphan and the poor and the needy? You want to make a difference? Again, here's some opportunities. And I'm presenting before me for you just to let you know that there's things right here in your neighborhood that you can plug into that will help you lay up treasure in heaven and will make a difference in the lives of the people where you live. And then one more thing, I just want to pull this up. And I don't know that I, did I put a picture up there, Diane, maybe? 211? Yeah, we did. Wendy just told me about this week. You guys, Vicky had already known about it. I didn't even know about it. But there's a, kind of like you would call 911, there's like a 211 you can call and get some directions about possible assistance for all kinds of needs that you may have. So if a young woman feels threatened, she can call 211 and get some direction about that. If somebody doesn't have enough food, they can call 211. They don't have a place to stay, they can call 211 and get some direction about those things. I didn't even know that was out there. All right? So just again, another opportunity. And we've shared the new life number a lot around our church. It's on our screens and stuff. People that especially need help with different kinds of addictions and counseling, that's a great opportunity to call to get help. Well, this is something here again local that can make a difference. All right. Not only locally, but you guys know that there's great opportunity internationally, right? You realize that a lot of the world makes less than $2 a day. I think the poverty line is like $1.89 or something like that. And there is, I think, like 800 million some people that live under $2 a day. Yeah, let that sink in a little bit. Can you imagine? That's just so foreign to us, we almost can't even fathom it, right? Now, we watched a video on Wednesday nights not too long ago that kind of showed what it was like to live in a village where you had a dollar a day. And remember the guys, they kind of had almost like a dice where they would pull out a chip every day and it would tell them if today was no dollars or today was $6, because you didn't know what you were going to get every day. You couldn't really budget it, but you really ended up living on about $1 or $2 a day. And that was a very enlightening experience to us what that was like. You can have a great impact if you choose, if the Lord leads in some of these things. There's already some incredible people who've had great vision, and they are looking for volunteers, and they're looking for resources to help accomplish their mission. Compassion, World Vision, and Samaritan's Purse are three of the really big organizations that are transforming work. I read some Compassion stuff last night. I had no clue how evangelical they were. Like, they are helping kids be educated along with the gospel and training them so that they can be a light to other people. So they're not just getting skills and abilities here, but they're also coming to know the word of the Lord as they're receiving this support. Isn't that awesome? I think that's amazing. So here are three different things, again, I would just challenge you with, to see that you can not only serve here locally, but you can have an impact worldwide. And again, there's a million different things you could do to help people, right? And all I'm asking you to do today is not to try to save the world, but to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do so that I can help your kingdom come and I can help be laying up treasures in heaven that will not spoil or fade or perish and that will magnify you and fill me with great joy. All right, the last thing I've been showing you every week. Look to see Christ in everyone you meet. You get to go downtown to the Colts game and you see a homeless guy on the street, look for Jesus in that guy. If you go to visit somebody in the nursing home the next month or so and you see some person, some older lady laying in the bed and she may be making loud noises and stuff like that, and you're like, oh boy, look to see Jesus in that lady. Right? You see some little kid and he's just all arrogant and proud and puffed up, but you can tell that probably inside is somebody that's really broken and that's why he's put on all this facade. Look to see Jesus in that person. And oh, by the way, lest we forget, right in here, look to see Jesus in the people you come to church with every week. Show them compassion and love and generosity. And let them know that you care about them and that they matter. And just those little bit of words of encouragement may make a huge difference. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer in a minute. I'm not going to play today, but I do want to again remind you just that there are so many opportunities. And again, a lot of us, we live where we have it pretty good. And a lot of the people that are in our lives have it pretty good. In our neighborhood have it pretty good. But I want to remind you that there's a lot of people right here that need some help. And so today, as I pray, all I want to do is challenge you to open up your hands to the Lord. And then as the Lord leads, that you would open up your hands to the people in your world, that the Lord would lead you through and to, that you could be generous, and that you could have an impact in their life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we're so thankful for your word. And Lord, just so challenging to see, not even one time, not two times, but three times and even more, we see in your word how our generosity is tied to an eternal inheritance and investment, Lord. It's so much more valuable than anything we could try to secure here on this earth. Lord, I pray today for my own heart, and we struggle with this, and Lord, we want to provide for our families. We want them to have it as good as their neighbors have, as their friends have. But Lord, would you really prick our hearts and help us to trust you? Lord, we believe, but Lord, help our unbelief. And Lord, would you help us to have more times of quiet where we hear your voice? And Lord, when you lead us, Lord, would you please help us to not ignore that voice, but to hear it so clearly and then be compelled to go and in obedience, Lord, to be generous with our time, with our ability, and Lord, also with our money, if that's what it would be, Lord, that you would use it to really make a difference in those who are hurting. Lord, I thank you so much for our church family gathered here today. Lord, their generosity is amazing, and I don't want any of them to feel guilty, Lord, about their generosity, because they have been so generous to one another, to our church body, and Lord, to their community. But I pray that you would just really guide us, Lord, and open our eyes and our hearts, that we will daily be in obedience to you and really make a difference as you have called us to. Lord, thank you so much for Jesus, for forgiveness, for the generosity that you showed to us, not withholding your only son, but Lord, providing a way for us to be reconciled. Lord, in gratitude, let us go and do the same for the people that you put in our path. And Lord, we love you so much today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Brother Todd, would you come and give us our announcements?
Everybody, to continue to pray for those around the world being persecuted for faith in Christ. Again, we're coming up on November very quickly, so we'll have International Day of Prayer coming up, and we'll have more information about that. So just...
next week we'll start trying to have some reminders.
Okay.
Every week in October.
Good. All right, so coming up, I think Brother Travis mentioned we have the Friday Night Fire coming up this Friday, so please plan on that. We're going to meet here what time?
Around
6:30 Friday night. Sounds like we'll have some things to eat, and although it hasn't felt much like fall yet this week, I think we're going to be heading in that direction toward the end of this week, so Friday will probably feel much more like fall than what we've experienced the last couple of days. I'll mention was the TAC rally is coming up in November. Sorry, I don't have a sheet this morning. So, and what day is that on exactly? Do you recall?
I believe it's the 2nd of November. It's Friday.
Okay, Friday, November 2nd. Still looking for some volunteers for that to help serve food and things like that for that Friday. So if anybody's available for that, please just let us know. Also, something I wanted to mention, we're looking for just some volunteers to help with lawn maintenance just to finish out this year, as was discussed, I think, in the sheet that Brother Travis gave out last Sunday. We're no longer paying for lawn service, so we're trying to finish out the year doing that. I think last week I saw Rick and Diane Stevens down here doing some lawn care, and we're really thankful for that. So if anybody has time and is interested, just let me know, and work something out there. Wednesday night this week, Bible study. What is going to be on the menu? Surprise. Quesadillas. So Wednesday, 6:30, quesadillas, followed by Bible study at 7. Are there any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Anybody have announcements they want to mention before we are dismissed in prayer?
Next Sunday morning, we'll start our discipleship class.
Okay.
If anybody else is interested in that, we'll go through the book symbol. We'll start that.
Discipleship class next Sunday morning. Starting probably around 9:45, about the time we usually start our Sunday school class. So, anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer to be dismissed. Father, again, I'm just so thankful to be able to come into your house and worship you, Lord, have that freedom to do so that so many in this world don't have, God. I'm thankful for these people that are here this morning, God, and their faithfulness to come in and just be with us, Lord, and share in this time of worship. God, I pray that you continue to bless these people in this church, Lord. Continue to provide the daily bread needed here just to keep us going, Lord, to do your will. God, I pray that you would just instill in each and every heart here the desire to want to do your will, God, and just let us discern what your will is for this church and to follow that. God, I pray you just go with us and guide us, Lord. Pray you use, Lord, the activities we plan at this church to help draw people to you, God, those that are lost, Lord, have not accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord. I pray we could just be a light into this world and help draw in those that need you, Lord. We pray these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.